We appreciate Jill for so many reasons, and we are celebrating what God has been doing in her life and the lives of so many. Amen? God is on the move.
Thank you. Wow. First of all, I really need to thank you all for your prayers. We felt them in a great deal while we were over in Asia, and also, of course, for your financial giving, without which I could not have gone. You are all such a blessing. I just love this church. There. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. God has been calling me for some time to a higher level of trust, and this trip was just another step in that journey. The Sunday before I left, I again heard God saying to me, "Do you trust me?" "Of course I trust you, Lord. I will trust you no matter what happens." He responded to me with, "But what if nothing happens?" Well, I knew immediately what that meant. What if my expectations of the many incredible physical healing miracles that I was going to pray for did not come about? Would I trust him? Would I trust him when I could not see what he was doing? Of course, I answered, "There is no other answer, but yes, Lord, I will trust you." Besides, that was a hypothetical question, right? No, it was not. Although there were many, many physical healings, and Renee will talk about them, I personally did not ever see a single one. Nothing that was you could document. Now, don't get me wrong. I prayed for many miracles, just not the physical, documented. Anyway, you know what I mean. I was led to pray for many soul healings. In fact, I was amazed at the songs today. They all kind of talk about soul healings, how God cares about us, our downhearted times. And that's what he seemed to lead the people to me for. And again, many times their physical pain left them once we had talked about their soul healings. And the teachings that, I'm just a plug here, the teachings I learned from Cleansing Stream and also from the time in my healing ministry were invaluable as I was out there praying for these people. Many, many women came to me for pain, their neck, their shoulders, their backs, and then they would also share the burdens of their heart. And we would pray and talk about it, and I would encourage them. Yes, you need to do everything you need to do, that you can do. But then you need to cast your cares upon the Lord, that God does not intend them to carry this heavy, heavy burden. It was not their responsibility. And I used many verses. Anyway, one, of course, was, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and that they need to continue to reach out to him, trusting him, again, the trust, trusting him, that he will give them the strength to go through whatever hard times they are facing. And as we would pray, and I would encourage them to release their heavy burden to Jesus, I could see, and I wish we had a picture, I could see their countenance change from one of absolute despair to just joy and peace, and their face would just light up with a smile, and they would go trusting God. Now, again, they need to continue that trust and maintain it, but it was a miracle nonetheless. So what are some of my highlights? Obviously, my individual prayer time each evening. There is a girl, let's see, which one? Next slide. That came to me. Actually, she was brought to me. She never spoke a word to me. But I was told she had an evil spirit within her. But the moment I put my hand on her, down she went. And so I followed her down and started praying for her. And as she, I felt very impressed that the Lord told me, you need to hold her as Jesus wanted to hold her. So with the permission of her mother, I did just exactly that. Now, I wish I had the end story for this. I don't. She kind of woke up. She was groggy, looked around, and then just got up and left with her mom. So I can't even tell you, but I definitely believe God was working in that and continues to. Another highlight. Wednesday night, Renee asked me, as the seasoned saint, a.k.a. the eldest of the group, to bless each member of the group. That was truly a highlight. It was very humbling, but it was also a great honor, and Renee, I know, is going to share more about that later. Another thing I want to share about that was a highlight was my interpreter. The first night I started praying, she came right alongside of me, and you know, from the beginning, probably because of that relationship, we had a bonding, and not only was she my interpreter, but she ended up being my cheerleader and my encourager. As I would pray over the people, I could hear her, amen, 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 just go, girl, go. And so it was great. Her name, to the best of my understanding, I'm just going to say Ronnie. One evening later in the week, she was praying for people before we had left the platform, and a woman got healed, and the woman went up to testify to her healing, and Pastor Caleb felt led to say, well, who was it that prayed for you? Who was it? And brought Ronnie up onto the stage, and immediately he had heard from the Lord a word of prophecy, so he called her husband up there. Where is he? Come on up here. And he prophesied over her that she was going to be an evangelist in their area, in Asia, and into Europe, and that her husband would be her support and her great intercessor. And I know, I was so proud of her, I could have busted. And in conclusion, and I just have one. Yeah, amateur. I truly believe that the main reason for my being a part of the team to Southern Asia was for me to participate in the prayer time following the service each time. And no, I did not count how many I prayed for. It was way too intense, and you know, they don't believe in lines. They just are there. And that was another thing that Ronnie did for me. She's the one that kind of chose who I did next, because you're kind of crowded. It's hard to, anyway. But I honestly believe that I probably prayed for upwards of 500, 600 people while I was there individually. So obviously I believe that I fulfilled my mission, and I also want to claim this promise in James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or woman. And I believe that our prayers that we prayed continue to avail much for the people of Asia that we prayed for. And again, I thank you, thank you, thank you for your support for me and allowing me to go through this. Renee?
Oh. Amen. 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 Wasn't that awesome? God is on the move, and we're...
Hallelujah. How many here have experienced God's divine empowerment, his number five, his grace in your life? Can I get a wave of the hand? Hallelujah. As you know, I lived in the land of Southern Asia, where they are the church of the hallelujah, and of course we are the church of the amen. But I was wondering if maybe you get a little enculturated with me this morning. If I say a little hallelujah, it probably won't be a little one, but if I say a big hallelujah, you'll respond with a hearty yes, and you will raise your hand and say hallelujah. Can we give it a whirl? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I believe Jesus is on out to something powerful this morning, not because of the speaker here today, simply because he is a man of his word, and he says in his word that he confirms it with signs following. So anytime his word is taught, preached, proclaimed, declared, we can expect by the promise and the power of God's word that signs will what? Follow. So I have come expectant. And I believe the signs are going to follow. What does that mean? I believe Jesus is going to save people, heal people, deliver people, fill people today because he is a man of his word. Hallelujah. How many of you are expecting to receive? All right. Lord, prepare the ground. You know what? God is still ringing out his voice, and he wants to declare to all of us, as Genesis 1:28 says, will be a focal point of our scripture verse today. It is God says, I want to bless them. I want to bless them. And he said to his first creation, and it still goes out to us today and rings out, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Conquer it. You know, God said that he wants us to increase, not decrease. And he wants his earth to be filled. God made man from the what? From the earth, from the ground, from the soil. So we are part of that. We are part of God's work. And he wants to what? Fill us and fill the earth. And he wants us to what? Conquer and have dominion. Hallelujah. We saw the fruit of that word in Southern Asia recently, just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And you'd be so proud of your own little Jilly here. I'm telling you, I am incredibly proud of, I call her Mama J, as some of you guys know. Overseas where we were at, they called Ama J. And that means Mother J, of course. And she did an incredible, she kept up with the younger people. I'm not as young, but, you know, I loved the fact that God used her as kind of a matriarchal blessing. You know, there's so many people, and by God's grace and mercy, over 30,000 people heard the good news of Jesus Christ within 8 days. Hallelujah. 1,503 people made decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because God is what? He's on the increase. He wants us to have dominion. That's what he what promised us. Hallelujah. But there's so many people. And I tell you, midweek through, you know, you kind of start pouring out and you work on depletion a little bit. Anybody here know about depletion in life? And you're giving out and not much, you know, coming back in. And one morning, I believe it was a Wednesday morning, the Lord impressed upon my heart and how to work with a prayer time towards the end of the service. If Caleb preached, then he gave the altar call and led people in a prayer to receive and make a decision for the Lord. Then I did what he called miracles. So I went up to the platform. I prayed for people. The Lord would drop words of knowledge about who was getting healed. Or I would just be praying that deaf ears be open and blind eyes. And then the Lord gave me direction because we would be praying for hundreds and hundreds of people individually. And literally they would stand there at the end of the platform and they'd look at you. Their eyes would just be open and just ready. Everybody wants a personal touch. Everybody wants a personal touch and private prayer in their lives. Everybody wants that. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit can download some things that could maybe make things a little better and multiply some things. And I had a vision, or an impression, I guess you could say, of all the people within the church lining up from left all the way to the right at the bottom of the platform, all the people in the church that helped volunteer. And then on the platform, there were the leadership. That means Pastor Steve and his wife Dora and all the other pastors that were there as well. And then all of a sudden, the thought came to my mind, which is totally from God, to use Mama J as our matriarchal blessing to come. And literally, she is the most seasoned, probably known the Lord more than any of us, longer than any of us, on the platform. And literally she came and she laid hands. Because you know what? The oil flows from the what? From the top down. The Lord gave me a little snippet to share, a little teachable moment before the prayer time. Because they were all expecting us to come and pray. And you know, the Lord just did a little twist and a little surprise. So I gave a little teachable moment how the anointing is supposed to flow from the head down. So I explained how we have a matriarchal blessing that was there with Amad J. And Amad J is going to pray that the anointing would flow from us. And then we, in return, would go and we would lay hands on those people that work within the church. And in their return, we go and lay hands on hundreds and hundreds of people that responded to the altar call or are there for prayer. I tell you what, yes, the Lord did miracles the first part of the week. But there was an amplification of a propelling power of the Holy Spirit that came. Isn't it any wonder that Jesus asked that the Holy Spirit would be poured out? He goes, it's good for me that I go to the Father, because I don't want you, anybody, to be left comfortless or alone. And I'm telling you what, it was beautiful. And as you can see some of the pictures of up there, the Lord just poured out and there was a multiplication of mighty hand of the Lord doing an incredible work. Thousands and thousands of people, as you can see in the pictures that are kind of flipping by rather quickly right now so I can get to the message. The Lord did an incredible, incredible work. Thank you so much for praying for us. We needed it desperately. We still do as we're, you know, getting less of a fog from jet lag and everything else. But anyway, I want to speak from the Word of God and also try to intertwine some of the stories that is here, mix it all together, and hopefully it'll bless you and touch you, and the Lord will move powerfully, and we'll leave here completely transformed by the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So scripture verse again, God bless them. Everything flows from Him. It's no wonder that God said, I don't want you to have any idols. Don't bow down to any idols. Why? Because God wants us to come to Him, for He has the resource. Everything flows from Him. And God blessed through Him. That's why still today in Israel, the children on their own volition will come to their parents to receive the blessing from the parents, because they see it from the flow from the top down. God wants, He is the one with the resource. He is the source and flows supposed to flow through Him. God bless them. And He has given us everything that we need. His power has given everything that we need for life and godliness. That's what His word says. We are equipped, people. We are equipped. We have the tools. But there's been a deception that makes us feel like maybe we don't have it, or makes us question things in our lives. But we are supposed to be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and conquer. And I think it's interesting that God first proclaimed that in the Word, and then something transpired to try and take the seed of the Word of God that He had planted in them to say, be fruitful, increase in number, and multiply. Because right when God gave a promise that you will have dominion, right after He gave that, there was something that got twisted in the midst of that to where there was doubt. And we read about that in Genesis 2:8. And it's up on the slides. In the middle of the garden, there was a tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everybody say good and evil. Say it again. Good. He told Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, you will surely die. Has anyone noticed it's harvest time here? And you have the farmers markets that are out there and all the wonderful fruits and veggies that are there. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And there's nothing like a good BLT sandwich with some garden fresh tomatoes and mayonnaise, or some would prefer salad dressing. It's all good. But anyway, there's a funny little story from India, actually, because one evening, late in the evening, we would get back 10:45, 11, 11:30, 9, we finally eat dinner at the hotel where we were at, and Caleb ordered onion rings. And what's so funny is what came out was what you see on the picture there. Isn't that funny? Isn't that hilarious? There was a little bit of a miscommunication that was there as to what onion rings really were, because they had them on the menu, but obviously, yeah, did not communicate very properly. And although he said, this is what I want, it's not necessarily what he got, but God was making it clear in the beginning, listen, this is what I want for you. As a parent, you know, I don't want you to go to this tree over here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I really want you to have life from this tree over here. Every parent that I am aware of would want their children to come to them on their own volition and give them a hug or a kiss or a gentle touch. You don't want to have to force them to do it. You would rather them listening to you to do what is right in life. You know, God is not any different. He said, I'd really prefer that you did not choose from that tree over here, from the knowledge of good and evil. I really would choose that you would have life. But we have a choice, don't we? We have a choice. And I know there, when we were in Southern Asia at that hotel, in the middle there was an island. And it had all of these wonderful fruits and vegetables that were there and were raw. And oh, and I know the entire team was looking at it, but some would look at me and I said, I'm not touching that. Because over there, you have to be very careful. Their water is not clean. And so how they clean those, it will not be good for, and you will literally get sick. You don't want to get sick over there. Trust me, I've had that plenty of times in my life, enough to know how to refrain and not touch. Do not eat. It's the same with what God said in the beginning. And have you ever wondered what it was like, why God even said the knowledge of the tree of good and evil? Maybe, just maybe, there is a thought that is there that even though sometimes what looks or appears to be good can lead to death. Evil can also lead to what? Death and not life. Isn't it interesting how the devil can deceive people to thinking that even maybe death looks good to you? Taking your life before Jesus says it's time. Knowledge of good and evil. Because sometimes good things are not necessary. There's a Bible verse that says, there's a way that seems what? Right to a man, but it ends in death. In fact, the devil can even purport things and like distort things so much that he can make you think that, you know what, I'm in such pain emotionally or physically in my life that you know what? Smoking that weed will surely relieve some things and hide a little bit of my pain. It might seem good, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but not everything that is good leads to life. And God says, I want you to have a right to what? Life. Jesus says, come to me to have what? To have life. It is interesting to me that people would be twisted and report that the devil, what he wants to do is isolate you and separate you and make you hide. And it's just bizarre to me that even though people are struggling in this life, that they would try and go to things that look good, like self-help books, and watch programs on TV to help with their family issues or their marriage issues, or the personal issues, rather than taking what is offered from something life-giving and the principles of God's Word, like with like family parental seminars and marriage matters seminars. But maybe we just rather eat from the knowledge of good and evil and go down a downward spiral than choosing principles that give life. It's still a choice that we have to make. Isn't that true? Because you know what? God created the family in the beginning. He wants the family to what? To conquer. He does not want the family to be cowardice. He wants the family of God to be comfort. The church is supposed to be what? The leading lady. The leading lady. Hallelujah. God wants the family to thrive, to thrive. And it's so interesting because behind every good thing that there is that God created, the devil is going to try to come back with a counterfeit. Family, familiar. Okay, let's just kind of go back and forth a little bit. Follow my brain train because a lot of tracks. Family, familiar. Family, what God created. And do you know there's a such thing called familiar spirits? Anybody know what a familiar spirit is? Just talking about covering things up or talking about smoking weed. I think it's interesting that Adam and Eve hide behind what leaves. So many people hide their pain through what? Trying to find things that would what? A substance that would bring abuse to try to cover those things up. Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves up with a weed too. Nothing new, right? But Do you know that familiar spirits have to do with sorcery? Okay, now follow me here. And do you know that the Bible mentions sorcery in the book of Revelation? You can find it actually in the original Greek. In the Bible, it says that in the end, all nations will be deceived by their sorceries. In the Greek, that means pharmakia, pharmaceuticals. All nations will be what? Deceived by their sorceries, by their pharmaceuticals. Can we just say drugs? Can we say that we are in the end times and the devil is still as much as a deceiver as he was in the beginning? Yeah? And do you know what? Sorcery is very much intertwined with familiar spirits. Familiar spirits have to do with witchcraft and sorcery. And what happens is familiar spirits is calling on, listen to me clearly, calling on a dead thing to get answers. Calling on a dead thing to get answers. Has the church today been calling on dead things that might look good, but literally bring death and is distorting what God has created, the family of God to take dominion and have life, but they're calling maybe on familiar spirits as an influence. It might look good, but in the end, it leads to what? Death. Church, we need to wake up. We become influenced by good things that are not leading us down a right path. It's not just happening here. It's happening over there, too, in Southern Asia. Why? God wants to preserve the family seed. He wants our seed to be saturated from Him being the resource. He wants to bless us, and He wants us to take dominion and conquer. Now for a story that intertwines with this. And one of the, towards the latter part of the week, there was a man who came forward, and he was wearing white, and I should have known by this because I lived in the area before, but I was just, you know, at this time I was kind of cutthroat. I'm like just going for the kill, and I was in that mode, and so I wasn't necessarily thinking through some things at that moment. But this man came up, as you see on the picture here, and he started testifying. He said, you know what, my house has been oppressed with witchcraft. And it's been horrible. He goes, and I have been disturbed and tormented by witchcraft too. And he said, I would go to some services here and there and be relieved. He goes, I came here tonight. I was kind of freaked out because all it takes is one politician to turn you in. And you're being deep doo-doo. Do I just say that on platform? I just did. Anyway, seriously. And I thought about that later, like, oh my goodness, that guy, you know. He could have really turned things around, but God is so good. He comes up and he says, but you know what? I feel relief today. Something has happened. My concern is I was listening to him. I was like, oh, goodness, I hope there's not any residual effects. Lord, take it all. And we're called to what? Conquer and have dominion, correct? Correct? We're called, the Bible says these signs will follow believers. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And in my name, they will what? They will cast out demons. These are a sign that should follow believers, not missionaries, not pastors, not evangelists. Believers, that means us. And so I laid my hands on him and I rebuked in the name of Jesus every foul thing of witchcraft, familiar spirits over his house, over him, over his family. I tell you what, he hit the ground and people came rushing over. He got up and he was like, what just hit me? I was like, that's the power of God, sir. That's the Lord doing his delivering work. Hallelujah. That's the Lord restoring his family, restoring his household, giving complete deliverance and freedom for him and his family. Lord, we need to be saturated with the seed of the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Because the ultimate purpose of the enemy is to isolate us. Here's a pondering point. Isolation brings death. Your sins, what separate you from God, that's isolation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the enemy is not all-knowing. He's not all-omniscient, but it doesn't take rocket scientists for even us to look around to see who is isolated, who's alone. Who just lost a spouse? Who sits in the cafeteria alone at school? I mean, honestly, it does not take the gift of God to download, to do a simple observation, right? The enemy wants to isolate us. And you know what? Everybody needs their space every once in a while. I certainly did after this trip. I needed a little bit of time to myself, okay? And that's okay to take some space, a little bit. But it's when you go into outer space, the outer limits. Why? Because the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. And you're out there in isolation, and he's watching too. And the Bible says when a spirit leaves somebody, it goes around in what? Arid places. Arid places. And that's where he wants to be. And people think, oh, he wants you to sin. Oh, but it's more than that. He wants separation. He wants you to be isolated. Because if he can get you isolated and in a spot where you feel incredibly alone, then he knows in what he can get into your what? Your head. And get into your thoughts. And to isolate you. And make you have a downward spiral. And in fact, that's what happened in the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were there in the very presence of God. Enjoying the presence of God. Enjoying the saturation of his presence. And the Bible says that the serpent came to Eve. And it does not even mention that Adam was there. She was what? She was alone. She was alone, and that's when the enemy got in her head. This is why God says in his word, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good. Pondering point. God's desire and design is for infiltration, not isolation. It is for infiltration, saturation, not isolation. When she was alone, she was deceived and she ate the fruit, ate the seed, consumed the seed of the knowledge of good and evil. Now further separation, isolation ensued. And Adam then comes to her. She was deceived, but Adam did what? He decided. It doesn't say he was deceived. He just decided. Which is interesting because he's doing what any man, good man, would do. Die for his woman, to protect her, provide her. And so he decided, you know, I'll do this with you. Do this with you. Further separation ensues. However, God is so great because what the first Adam could not do, there's a second Adam who we know as Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to you, he says, I'm not dying with you. I am dying for you. Hallelujah. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. So they ate of the fruit. And it's so interesting because many people think that, you know, that we God made God turn away from you. But God really was coming for them to rescue them, saying, where are you? Where are you? You're not coming to me anymore. I miss your presence. Where are you? And he goes looking and searching for them into the garden. They're like, he was like, oh, the serpent deceived me. And, you know, Adam had another response too. It's not what I'm going to get at the moment, but I want you to just look at this. I believe God as the parent got very mad. And the Bible said God cursed at the serpent. And it was upset. You took my child. I wanted the good seed from the fruit of life to be in what I created, came and coming from me. And you took that from my child. Therefore, this is what I am going to do. The very seed that deceived and brought death, I am going to put a deep hatred, enmity, okay, between her and you. You wonder why there's women doing intercessory prayer? I will tell you this, because any woman, any grandparent that has had a child stripped from you like God did, you're like, not my kid, not mine. I'm going to take that back in the name of Jesus. You let go of my kid in Jesus' name. And God said, you know what? You've messed with my kid. This is what I'm going to do. I will put a deposit inside of the woman. You took the seed. I am going to place a seed inside of what? Her. An offspring inside of her. And that seed, you tried, you got into her head. Therefore, that's what I'm going to do. That seed that's going to come from you, it is going to what? Crush your head. Your head. You tried to get into her thoughts. You tried to get into her mind. You tried to rob her of your peace and my peace that I have given to her. And I'm saying to you, listen, I'm going to turn this around and I'm going to let there be a seed saturation of deliverance and of hope. And I am going to deliver it through that woman. And she is going to be able, with that, the seed being Jesus Christ, crush the head that you tried to get into the head of my kid. Somebody say hallelujah and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your eyes are part of your head. Your ears are part of your head. Jesus says, I am the head. I am the head. And my thoughts are for you to conquer. So your thoughts should be those conquering dominion thoughts. Not for the enemy to have influence over your head, because what God says is his head is crushed. So we need to rebuke and cast down those thoughts. Doesn't it say in today in the world that there's a deception of the enemy that's coming to the minds of unbelievers, crushing the head of the serpent? Hallelujah. So therefore, there was this man that came. There he is. Man that came, and he said he could not see. The eyes, part of the head. I believe God wants full restoration in your mind, in your eyes, ears, you name it. He could not see out of his right eye, partially, like 50-50. And by God's grace and mercy, we laid hands, as the Bible says. And I tell you what, Jesus restored his sight. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? This is a blessing to me in the next picture here. It was about 8 or more years ago that I was in that same venue, that same church. And the senior pastor at that time, now he's passed away, and his son, what we worked with, Pastor Steve, that was there. His dad took me in all the 50-some churches that he planted and did many circuits in that area. And in one of the areas, 8 or so years ago, this lady was in one of those places. I don't even remember her, but she was there at the many church services that we had. She came up in the middle of one of the women's services that we spoke at, and she said, "You were here. And you came to where I was, and I had a little bit of an outdoor meeting, a gospel meeting at my house, and you prayed for me." I said, "Oh, I did?" I said, "Okay, tell me about it." And she said, "I wasn't able to have a baby." And she said, "You prayed, and I have a son now. And he is in fourth standard, which is fourth grade." I'm like, "Oh, thank you so much for coming and telling me that. I wouldn't have known." I was like, thank you so much. After a year of being married, you're supposed to be fruitful and multiply in Jesus' name, okay? And then I asked her, and this is what blew me away. I said, "How old were you when you became pregnant?" 40 years old. God is able to do a seed saturation and place within every womb a spiritual seed as well as a physical seed. Hallelujah. And turn things around for the glory of God. Here's another picture of a man. He came and literally could not walk properly and had a cane. In the middle of the service, Jesus touched him and healed him. The cane was left on the platform as he went and walked freely. Why? It's because God promises in his word, "I have given you authority to what? Trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy." Hallelujah. Now he can say, what distorted and what you tried to take away is freedom of mobility. Jesus says, "No, I'm turning it around, because you're supposed to trample on the head of the enemy." Hallelujah. God promises fullness, saturation, immersion of the seed of the Savior of the Spirit. Will you choose to stay in his presence until you are saturated with his promise? Will you choose to stay in his presence until you're saturated with his promise? Adam and Eve did for a time in his presence. But what if you can't see the seed being blessed? You know, in Zechariah in the New Testament, Luke 1, 5 through 17, Zechariah was a priest and he longed for seed saturation. He was in the presence of God and he would go into the temple and he would worship God. And usually what would happen is that the priest would have a son and the son would follow him. And he'd use his son, this is how we worship in the temple. These are the incense of the prayers of the people that rise before the Lord. This is how we work it. This is where we meet God. And there was no pitter-pattering of the feet that followed him. For him and his wife were barren. And one time when he was in the presence of God, see, we have a choice. We have a choice in the times where we don't see that things are responding like in the time we think they should. We are tempted to eat from the knowledge of good and evil because it seems like good or better at that time, rather than just to soak in the presence of the Lord in the pain. Lord, give me your presence in the midst of the pain. I'm so glad for men who choose to be in the presence of God, even in the midst of pain, even when they cannot see what's happening in their family. They choose to do it. Zechariah did. And in the midst of the pain of barrenness and not knowing, he was worshiping God and God spoke to him and said, you are going to have a son. I have heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. Many will come to the Lord. In fact, he will turn the hearts of the what? Fathers to the children. Oh, I love that promise. Oh, we need more of that, don't we? The hearts of the father to their children. And so it's like, oh my goodness, really, really? And he doubted. He doubted. And it just, the Bible says he became mute. And he went out, everybody knew he had an encounter with the Lord. And he tried to, you know, make some signs or whatever. And when it came time then to respond as to what you want to name, because his wife became pregnant. And it came time after she birthed the promise of God, said, hey, what do we name him? And I find this is interesting. Even though Zechariah did not feel he even knew what was happening in his own life, he decided, you know what? I am going to write down the promise that God gave me. And this is a good example for all of us. Because in times you don't feel anything at all, and you don't see fruition of the seed at all, you don't see the promise of God, you know what? Write it down. Write it down. And when he wrote down what to name his son, everybody was around him. That means family members were around him. Get your family together and say, this is what God promised me. I've been in the presence of God. I have heard from God. I don't know how to explain it, but right now I'm just writing it down. And family, church family, immediate family, this is what God has promised us. And literally, when that happened, he wrote down the promise, and he showed it to everyone. This is the promise. This is what we're going for. This is what we're standing for. Literally, what happened, his tongue was loosed. Communication was restored. And what did he birth? He birthed John, which means what? God's grace, his favor towards what? Men. And God did what for John? He was called John the what? Baptist. And he would what? Immerse people in the waters. A saturation of the seed of baptism. Once you receive the seed of Jesus Christ, his salvation in your life, immersed in him. Hallelujah. John the Baptist, being immersed in the seed of a promise that God has given, loosed his tongue as communication was restored. Hallelujah. And I think it's great because even John gave us, you know what, clear indication as to what was going to happen. You know what? Yes, I immerse you. I saturate you with water for repentance, for turning. But after me is going to come one that's going to immerse you with the fire of my spirit. Why? So you will be bold witnesses. So when it comes down to it, when you have a choice between good and evil, are you hearing me? When it comes down, when you have a choice between good and evil, what seems good, what seems not what is right, like the right to life, but when it comes down to it, you're going to need this immersion and this boldness to receive the power of God in your life, because you are called to what? Subdue the earth. conquer, be influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by outside influences, not going on the outer limits and being influenced by everything that is demonic out there. But no, we are supposed to be the influencers. We're supposed to want to be the conquerors. Hallelujah. And you need this power immersion, this seed saturation of the power of God so you can boldly stand for me. Because this is what you're called to do. You're called to what? Increase in numbers. In numbers in your home. In numbers in your neighborhood. In numbers in the church. In numbers in your schools. In numbers what? In your businesses. What? To have dominion. To conquer. That's what God wants of us. And so he says, you know what? You're going to receive power from on high. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to deposit to crush the head of the enemy. Like he deposited into Eve and saying, you know what? Your seed is going to crush the head. Where have we lost it? Other people can crush us and make us cower. That is a deception of the enemy. We're not supposed to cower. We're supposed to conquer and subdue. Take dominion. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So if you've been fearful, you've been afraid, that is not from God. They're supposed to rear our shoulders back and our heads back and say, I have a seed saturation of the supernatural power of Jesus. I'm not going to be isolated. I'm going to get in with God and presence of God, even in the pain. I'm going to hear from the Lord. I'm going to have a promise. I'm going to write it down. And my family is going to live by this promise in Jesus' name because we are called to take dominion. I was going to give another story, but if you want to hear it, you can tell me, ask me later, because we're going to wrap things up, see what Jesus is doing. Do you know what? King Tut has been buried for like 3,000 years. 3,000 years. And do you know in King Tut's tomb, they placed actually a box of seeds that were there. And the seeds, literally, now you can go in the mausoleum or whatever they have where he's buried, and literally a box of seeds will be there. And the box of seeds are petrified, 3,000 years petrified. Now, many people would look at that seed and say it's worthless, and look how hardened it's become after many years. Look at the generations of hardenedness. Yes, I'm talking about generational seeds. And is there any hope? Well, there are people from the land of milk and honey, by the way. Did you know Wisconsin is the land of milk and honey? Wisconsin knows the dairy state. That's milk, and the insect is the honeybee. Hallelujah. But these people are actually from Israel, as the Bible says, and in Israel, somebody said, you know what? Let's take a few of those seeds, because they realized something. You take a seed, even though it's been petrified for 3,000 years, through generations and generations of hardness, if you take that seed and you put it in good soil and an environment, the good environment, that would be the presence of God. And you put that seed in the presence of God or in good soil. You know what happened when they did that? The hardness fell off. The seed was saturated by water. Let's do symbolism of the Holy Ghost. And do you know that that seed grew and there was an incredible harvest like you could not imagine. Praise and worship team, come up. Like you would not imagine. Which shows you this. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're of an older generation, a younger generation. It doesn't matter how fearful you are, because God can what? Eradicate the fear in your life. If you've been petrified over things, been petrified over influences in your life, whatever has petrified you, you put that seed in good soil and you have a saturation of the Spirit of a living God, there can be a transformation and a harvest of souls. Hallelujah. Because you are the influencer and not the one being influenced.